Welcome to the Health Coach Nation podcast. My name is Haley Rowe, and I'm a sales and marketing coach and LinkedIn lead generation service provider. I work with health, life, and mindset coaches and online service-based business owners to help them get more sales, shift their time to the client-generating activities instead of just the busy work, and overcome that social media overwhelm. Let's get into the show. If you're ready to take on your next paying clients, I have good news. My free 4 Basics of Client Attraction and How to Stand Out class is live at haleyrowe.com/client-attraction. In the class, you're going to learn the top 2 traits I recommend for most coaches and entrepreneurs if they really want to turn this into a career. You're going to learn how you can build demand for your services and stop getting crickets on your posts. You're going to learn the sales roadmap I used to improve my sales conversion rate and help my clients do the same. And you're going to learn so much more. So go to haleyrowe.com/client-attraction and get your copy of the class today. Hello, I'm so excited today to bring a special guest who has been very successful in the wellness world. Her name's Ali Shapiro. She has her own podcast and she has a large audience here on Instagram in particular. And so what I wanted to do today, because many of you listening aspire to build your wellness brand and be able to work with more clients and things like that, and she's been able to do that. So I thought we would interview her on her journey, what's worked well for her, and just remember that everybody's path is different, but I think there will be some themes and some traits that success. So if you're joining me live here on Instagram here in February, I do want to let you know as well that I have a free live class coming up very soon where I'm going to be sharing with you 5 hidden mistakes you may be making in your marketing that is costing you sales and what to shift to instead if you want to turn things around. It's not too late. And the things I'm going to be sharing with you are not going to take forever. They're going to be more tweaking things you're probably already doing and making them better. So get excited for that. You can go to haleyrowe.com/5steps if you want to sign up. It's like the number 5 and then steps, all one word. And let's bring on Ali. Here she comes. She's joining us in just a second. It says, there we go. She's going to try again, y'all. Get ready. Hey, you're here.
I am. Great to see you.
You too. And I really want to follow you on Instagram, but for some reason, Instagram is mad at me because I unfollowed a lot of people I don't want to follow anymore. By hand, it was me. I just was like, no, no, no. So I'm sorry about that. But anyway, welcome. I'm so excited to be here. And I was just giving you a little intro that you've built a very impressive brand and podcast. Mm-hmm. People listening to this one want to do the same. So I'd love to just hear from you how you got into what you do, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, I started health coaching back in 2006. We were called health counselors. So kind of one of the original, I guess, health coaches. And I got into it because I had my own eating struggles, my own health struggles. I had diagnoses of irritable bowel syndrome, depression, acne. I was also a very emotional eater, binge eater. And I went to the Institute for Integrated Nutrition and discovered functional medicine and was really able to reverse all of those diagnoses. And it was a miracle to me. So I started seeing clients on the side, and I could have really used you back then, Haley, because I quit my corporate job after having, you know, success doing grocery store tours and all this kind of stuff, and realizing I could help people more than just myself, because I was like, maybe this, you know, this only works with me, but it didn't. And my business plan was to help people, which was not very well thought out, right, at all. But, you know, and coaching was very different back then. You had to explain what it was. You know, you had to tell people that food could influence their health. It's very different, a different era than today. And what I found though is after about the fourth session, clients, we stopped talking about food. And I really wanted to be able to help my clients in this way that they needed that went beyond health education, nutrition education. And I discovered a lot of them had like crazy food habits like I did. I thought it was just me. This was, again, no social media. A lot of newspapers didn't even have a health section. So you were very much, you know, you thought it was just you if you struggled with food. And so in 2009, I decided to go back to grad school at the University of Pennsylvania. And I really wanted to get good at deeper coaching than just the health education aspect of it. And I developed my Truths with Food model there. And it was really, really helpful. And then business, I was pretty much overloaded with clients, seeing clients one-on-one. And so I decided in 2010, I started my first group program as an attempt to be able to serve more people, not trade hours for dollars, all of this stuff that we can get into ruts as coaches. And I, over the course of 8 or 9 years, I really got great at coaching. I refined the model to work with real people because in grad school, I learned all the different coaching theories. I learned all of that stuff. But then when you're working with real people, it doesn't map perfectly. And so that has really enabled me to, you know, scale, as they say in health coaching or in the coaching business, and offer really deep transformation and learn along the way that you need what you do with sales and marketing for sure. And then you also need a really, really great product so that once you're visible and all that stuff, you can get word of mouth referrals and that kind of stuff. So, and yeah, then I launched the podcast in 2016. I was living in Philadelphia, had moved to New York, and we wanted to move back to where I'm from, which is Pittsburgh. And I knew there was probably not a huge market for health coaching back here where I live now. So the podcast was really in a way to reach more people and go virtual with my health coaching practice. And that's what's enabled me to grow ever since.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that journey. And you know what's so weird? You're in Pennsylvania,
right? Yeah.
I have met so many health coaches. Like most of my clients, a lot of my clients come from Pennsylvania, and they're
no way.
I don't understand why. So it's very funny. But I do want to bring it back. So you've kind of shared your whole journey, and you said 8 or 9 years, plus that you've been doing this. And I think a lot of people, you know, get into this, and your plan, as you said, and I don't think it's actually a bad thing. Your business plan was, I want to help people. That was a big reason why you were doing this. And so I think that's also why you have stuck around for 8 or 9 years to do what it takes to succeed. So for somebody who's kind of in the beginning stages and they're like, okay, Ellie, that sounds cool, but like I have a job and I have other things going on and I need things to be moving along and I want to transition. What would you have told somebody who, you know, was an IIN graduate and is in that beginning stage where they're like, yeah, this isn't working yet. What would you tell them that they should start with, or maybe even share how you got your first client?
Yeah, well, so I think there's two tracks here. One is the sales and marketing. And how I got my first client was I tapped the relationships with people I already knew. I know in this age of social media and oh my God, you think you have to have this huge following. But coaching is a business of relationships. And so I remember I was working in the corporate world. I was seeing clients in the morning and then evening, and I was working in commercial real estate. And there was a women's group called Crew that was women in commercial real estate, enterprising women. I forget exactly the. And I found a woman at work. She's amazing, Kathy, who was a real champion of me. And she brought me in to give a talk. And I gave a talk on sugar. I talked about how 4 grams of sugar is like one packet, you know. And that's how I got my first couple clients. Then I went to Penn State undergrad, which is different than UPenn. But there was a Penn State alumni group. And I said, hey, I went to Penn State. Can I give a free talk? And that's really how I got my first couple of clients. It was relationships I already had, asked them if I could, you know, give a free talk to offer some value. And that's how it really started. What accelerated was I had rented space in a wellness center. So there were people, and this is, again, this was this was six, I've actually been doing this for 16 years. It took me about 8 years to, 8 to 10 years to achieve mastery in coaching. But being in that wellness space where people were getting acupuncture, chiropractor, massage, these were people who already valued their health and were willing to pay out of pocket for it. And again, completely different era than it is now. But being in there exposed me to people who would be open to investing in nutrition counseling, right? So that's the business and marketing thing. But the other track I want to say, and I think this is what people might not want to hear, is, you know, back when I loved Diane, it was amazing, it changed my life. But there's a lot of shiny objects out there, right? Of like this tool, and we hear we want to get to six figures overnight and all this stuff. And it was a really hard decision to invest in grad school because it was the longer term. And not everyone needs to invest in grad school. My Truce coaching certification is like getting a master's in stubborn change. So the way that you save everyone time, you know, with your FAST framework, the Truce coaching certification saves you time towards the path of mastery with coaching. But you have to put in the time because the best marketing is satisfied customers. So you need what you're offering, and then you need, in my opinion, to be good at what you do. And that just takes time. You know, if you're a therapist or you're a doctor or you're a nurse, you go through years of training, right? And then for some reason we think in coaching, we shouldn't have to put that time in. But I'm a firm believer that it pays off and you get better as you go. And if you work on yourself so you don't get entangled in your clients, your self-doubt doesn't take over. So it's, even though it's, you may need to bring in some money and you want to know that it's working, there's also, you have to be patient, I think, at the same time to get good at what you're doing.
100%. You don't get to skip steps. Everybody starts inexperienced and you have to gain the experience. And I totally agree with you that just being really good at what you do is so powerful for word of mouth and referrals, because once you get one client, then it becomes a lot easier. And I think the other thing that you highlighted is you started with what you had in front of you, what was available to you. I have a get clients checklist in my program, and it's all about like the lowest hanging fruit. And one thing that you mentioned is you started with, I went to the school, I had a commonality with this school. I said, can I speak? Or there was local places where people are already invested in wellness. And that's another thing I talk about. It's like, rather than you, Allie, going to McDonald's and trying to do a talk about health, nobody wants to hear you talk about health there. You went to places where people already get it. They already understand. And sometimes people say, well, wouldn't those people already feel like they have it figured out and not need a health coach because they're like going to acupuncture or they're doing their thing? No, usually those are the people who will invest more and more and more in wellness coaching because they already are bought into the concept that wellness is important. So I love that you highlighted that. I also love that you highlighted if you feel like you're not good at the coaching skill itself, that's a really important thing to address, and that you have a certification to help people get better at coaching, because that's super important. So tell me more about that. And I have more questions, but I'll stop there.
Well, and then I just want to say, I'll talk about the certification, but to your point of like, start where you are, you know, when I started out, I was giving grocery store tours. And so I think coaches also, you know, a lot of our times we have so much self-doubt. We think there's shiny object syndrome and there's getting better, but there's also starting where you are. And that as you mature as a coach, your offering will mature, right? Like, so in the beginning, I was giving grocery store tours. I was learning what people needed. And so I also don't want to discourage people to think like, well, I can't get started if I don't have this mastery. No, start where you are. My market, my offering has matured as I've matured. My clients have matured. And the cool thing is a lot of my clients who, you know, needed grocery store tours and just education on blood sugar and gut health, they also came along for the ride for this deeper transformation of like, why am I not doing what I know I should be, right? So I also want to just, you know, to your point of the low hanging fruit, right? We love food puns right here to do that. But yeah, so the Truce Coaching Certification is, so what happens with a lot of coaches, right? When we're starting out, entrepreneurship will bring up all your stuff. You know this, right? Like, it's going to bring up all your issues. Business, it's going to bring out visibility, fears, failures, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what I found was a lot of coaches have what I call shiny object syndrome. And so the minute that things start getting tough with the client, they think they have to double down on the plan, or they think that they need to pull, as I train other coaches, they're like, I feel like I need to pull another rabbit out of the hat, right? Like, I need to go to another training. And what clients, especially in the health space, or coaches in the health space, often don't know is that when you're meeting someone who's stuck and they're not doing what they said they wanted to do, as the coach, you start to doubt yourself. But what you're really doing is you're meeting a client's survival self. And the survival self is often why they're overeating, why they're not taking care of themselves, right? And if you don't, and so the true coaching certification is designed to help people, rather than throw more tools at the person, throw more tools at the client, you doubt yourself as a coach, to say, okay, how do we work through this? How do we get the survival self back to the healthy adult self that brought them to coaching? The healthy side of themselves brought themselves to the coaching. The healthy adult self is imaginative, it's creative, it's discerning. But the survival self is when they're in those really bad habits that they often come us to coaching to want to fix. And so the Truist coaching certification is, okay, why does it make sense that they're falling off track? Let me actually understand that this is the real seeds and potential of transformation, transformative change. And so then it is a whole model that takes, that trains you in stubborn change, which if you're in the health coaching space, you know, or maybe you don't know this and you think it's just you, but it's known in the industry that eating and exercise, people cannot stay consistent with. So it's an amazing, if you can nail that, crack that nut, which is what the Truist coaching certification does, you set yourself apart in that way, especially as the coaching market is maturing. The certification is trauma-informed because I think as coaches, I know trauma is really big in this space, but if you don't have a depth of experience there, it's really not the place for coaches to play with. And then the certification's a year because it takes a while to get good at things. And you also go through the process yourself as a coach, because when I talked about that survival self that you're going to meet, that side of your client, if you aren't aware of that, what's going on, your survival self is going to come out. The person who says, oh my God, what do I need to do? They need to get their value of their money. I need to fix this. I need to make sure that they're happy, right? Whatever your survival strategies were, and you're going to get what's called entangled in that. So this Truist coaching certification, you go through this change process yourself. And the goal that many of my clients bring is a business goal that they feel stuck with. That's more process oriented, right? And in your FAST framework, you talk about thoughts and beliefs, right? The T. And so we're looking at that so that you can develop the self-awareness. So when this stuff comes up of, I'm worried my client's not getting results fast enough, I'm worried that they're mad, that they're stuck. Oh, you, rather than everyone, you and the client getting entangled in your survival cells, you can actually relax and bring them out of that and get them into the thing that stubborn habits that they have, you can help them resolve. And that's what the certification is about. It's super comprehensive.
Yes, yes. And I did a life coaching certification last year, because even I, you know, still doing this for many years, there's still things I want to learn. And it's there's so much to improve always. And what I call what you said about there's the I forgot what you referred to it as, but I call it the toddler brain and like the adult brain. The toddler brain's going to tap in and be like, no, this is too hard, and kicking and screaming and giving all of your common default, you know, excuses and whatnot, or things that feel very real to you about why you can't advance and stick with things. But as you said, if you can hold the space for your clients in the mature brain and come at it from that calm perspective, it is a really good example to set. And it is very easy, I will say this, as somebody who's been coaching for a long time, it's very easy to get sucked into, I want to do everything I can to control this and make this the best thing ever and be the best and help them. And you want to almost like take as much responsibility as you can, which I don't think is a bad thing,
right?
But from a mature level, and not like to prove myself and I need them to like me and I need, you know. So how do you manage that, or any tips for coaches who do feel like they're getting stuck in that?
Yeah. Well, and I just want to say the one thing, and it may just be a matter of semantics, but I know when it comes to especially eating, is that I think it's really important to understand that the survival self is doing the best it can to self-preserve, right? So I just want to like, I know in some life coaching, it's like, oh my God, that we're being stubborn or whatever, but And the model that I use, it's like, all of this makes sense, right? All of this makes sense. So I just wanted to put that there. But I think the first thing is just recognizing what's happening, right? Recognizing, okay, the client is in their survival self, they're in their tantrum self, whatever you want to call it. And so rather than me trying to fix this, right? Because what happens on a like implicit level is that when we try to, if a client is struggling, right? A client comes into me and they say, I've fallen off track. And if I say, all right, well, let's double down on our plan. Let's try harder. We're telling them they're wrong, which is communicating that, which to them is going to feel like shame, right? Especially around food. There's so much shame and guilt around food. And that is going to push them further into their survival self and try to protect themselves. So I think it's first recognizing that when your client has fallen off track, when they aren't doing the follow through, the first is to recognize that their survival self is activated. So I think that's the first thing. And the second thing is recognizing in yourself, what do you want to do? I always want, when I first started off in coaching, I wanted everyone to like me, right? And it's like, is that really my goal though? Is it for them to like me, or is it for them to get the value and the results that they want? And it is hard in the beginning. That's why I think being in a program like, you know, with you or with me in this case of like really honing on your coaching skills, to have someone there that you can bring this to when you're first starting out is so important. But to recognize, oh, I'm trying to give them more tools, but is more going to really fix them, or is it going to overwhelm them? I'm trying my own survival strategies when my goal is really to offer value. And how can I offer value here? So recognizing the survival self, recognizing it in yourself. Okay, the goal is not to be liked. The goal is not to be perfect, you know? And so then the third thing is, I think we always want to ask, why does this make sense? Why did this person fall off track? So if a client comes into me and they say, you know, I felt like I was making all this progress, and then I was at this event and I had, my social anxiety was sky high, and I ate at the event and then I came home and ate privately. And rather than me being like, oh, you didn't stick to the breathing that we talked about, you didn't tap like we talked about. And again, all those tools have a place. Like all of my clients who come to the Truce Coaching Certification, they have tools, existing tools, but they don't understand where they sit in a bigger change process. And so I always say, why does that make sense, right? Like, and that immediately tells the client that they're safe with you, because they're judging themselves. You don't need to judge them anymore. They're already doing it. And our job then is, I think, to help them start to get, oh, if we can repair that trust in our relationship as coaches, like we're telling them this makes sense and we're not going to judge them, that creates the space for them to actually get curious rather than to go into further shame. And so I think those are the three starting steps. Recognize the client's survival self, recognize your survival self and your coping strategies for how you want to get out of your own discomfort that the client's experiencing. And then lastly, why does it make sense? Can really help the client move so much more forward than another tool to try to fix the very frustration that if you can fix that, I mean, if you can help them work through that, is going to change everything.
Yes. And I love that last question, why does this make sense? Because instead of fighting against your natural tendencies and or habits that you don't like, we want to actually like let go of the resistance around it and actually understand what's going on and like see it like a scientist and more like, why do we think, oh, totally, this makes sense because blah, 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 right? You be it and you're actually able to work with it instead of being like, as you said, you did this earlier in today.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, like, if we think of anybody listening to this, like if you're struggling with something, right? And then someone comes in and it's like, whether you should leave a relationship, whether you should charge more, whatever it is. And someone's like, why don't you just do this? And you can't do it. Then you're like, oh my God, I suck. What's wrong with me? Right. And that is not, that's, you're pushing yourself more back into that survival self. And nothing really good long-term comes from that.
Definitely. Well, I want to ask you, because I'm sure people are wondering, you've built a really strong podcast, a really strong brand, really strong audience here on Instagram. What have been some of the biggest things that have helped you do that the most?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is that the way that I like to market is through education. And so I really just try to teach and offer people my perspective on things. And because, again, I have this very different perspective in the market around emotional eating, that comes across, right? And so that's really what I've just focused on is like relationship building, right? Of like with the people who listen to the podcast, also inviting people on the podcast, right? So you can develop relationships with them. But I just think it's always offering people, and I love education myself. My parents were both teachers, and I think I'm really an educator at heart. But just offering people value, right? And then the other thing is I've learned how to position. So my clients are, I position, they're like the sage rebels, right? Archetypally. And so those type of people, and I'm one of those as well, they don't like to be pressured in sales, right? It's like, here's all the information. They like to research a lot. That's what I like to do. So I give them the information, and then I trust that if they know, I don't have to use, I don't like using fear-based scarcity tactics, what a lot of those tactics are. And I think that's the slow and steady way to cultivate and nurture relationships. And that's really, I think, the most simple thing and the mastery. I do want to like, again, the better we get at coaching, the more clear our communication, the more we can actually stick out from the crowd when we understand what's happening. And so I think that's what I've done well. There's a lot of things that I can improve upon as well. So there's I could talk about what I need to do better if you if that, if that we want to go there, but.
Share one or two things that you want to get better at, because I think it's important for people to see you never just arrive and it's done. There's always new ceilings to break and things you're working on. So I'd love to know what, you as an established business owner now are dealing with and some of the things you're working on.
Yeah. So what I'm really working on is what I guess what they say top of the funnel stuff is awareness. So once people find me, the podcast that I have is really great for engagement. And like I said, then, the sales piece for me is just more like, does this line up for people at the right time? Is it the right, can they afford it, at this time, all that kind of stuff. But the awareness piece, which is, I'm sure you teach this, like the top of the funnel, it's the higher level stuff. And it's more emotionally driven. And even though I'm a really sensitive person and emotional, like in myself, the way I learn is very intellectual. The top of the funnel stuff sometimes is stuff I already know, so it's not as interesting to me. So I tell myself, hasn't everyone already heard this already? Right? And so that's what I'm working on. And food is so emotional. So it's a huge miss not to bring that in. And this past year, I hired someone, to pitch me to podcasts, which is actually how we've connected. And I really, after just doing so many interviews, really figured out, oh, this is how I can make this, communicate this, right? Show, not tell. Even though I've been doing this for so many years, it's just not been the thing that I've necessarily focused on because I'm a five on the Enneagram. I love depth, I love nuance, I love to go deep, right? So it's like this stuff is not as interesting to me, but I had to reframe it as how can you learn this stuff as a business owner and reach, the goals that you have for yourself now? Because, I've reached all my goals that I originally set out for, but then you have new goals and life changes and I had a baby and it's getting to that next level requires that skill set. But yeah, you're always, I think you have to agree to two things if you're going to be in entrepreneurship. One, you're signing up for spiritual boot camp, whether you realized it or not, that's the question. And then you really have to be okay always being on a learning curve, in my opinion.
Absolutely, totally agree. And you have to be okay with putting in things before you see direct outcomes,
Yes.
right? See, you have to start getting comfortable with. So great, great way to end it. Can you tell everybody how they can find you, connect with you, all
Yeah.
that good stuff?
Yeah. So if you're watching this on Instagram, obviously on Instagram, but if you're a coach or change agent, healthcare practitioner, or therapist, Every month I have a free call where you can bring your coaching questions. You can learn more about this stubborn change model. And it's really for rebel practitioners. So allyshapiro.com/disruptor. And we have those calls on the third Tuesday of every month. And if you can't make it live, you can sign up for the recording. But really, if you have any coaching challenges, you can bring them to me. Again, been doing this for 17 years. I think 16 full-time, 17 years total, which is wild to me. And then the Insatiable podcast, or you can visit my website at allyshapiro.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here and dropping your wisdom. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Haley. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. And if it's really helpful for you, I'd really appreciate if you share it and or leave a written podcast review. This tells the podcast sites that our show is useful and it will be promoted to more people that way. Thanks again.